gentle is really bugging out. His mind's going faster, faster than his mouth. Can't really focus on his baby love. Only has time for a single word. In his mind he only goes
hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm beautiful thoughts. Names represent a lot of things, actually. But back in the 1800s, I would say that names were approximately what you did for a living. But luckily, my name is not indicative of what my profession is, because John is a toilet. That's what Jeff Goldblum. I've had a conversation with the guy, and he legit talks like that.
Wow, I thought that was Gina Davis. You got me.
That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger. You want to hear my Tom Hanks? Here's my Tom Hanks. Ah, Wilson, come back, swim. That's my Tom Hanks.
And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing The Fly, our final film in our series of Cronenberg's movies. Oh, we got a critic. here of Crash Course. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll go first stuts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're reviewing Yellow Jackets Season 3, Episode 7, Croak, right? I want to say Croak, but it's Croak.
Croak.
And
you know what came out in the late 90s around this time?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Ha, Brinkley! Ha. Don't cry, shop girl. Don't cry. You got Mel. No, actually, that came out in like...
Meg Ryan? Is that your Meg Ryan?
Yeah, it's my Meg Ryan. Yeah. Okay, you know, I actually can do all the Tom Hanks Meg Ryan moves. Hey, no, fuck this volcano. It sucks.
When Harry Met Sally. Got it.
Yeah. No, I like toys because I'm a kid. No, but I'm grown and big.
There you go. Sleepless in Seattle.
It was actually Philadelphia. But
okay. Okay, yeah. I missed that.
I like men.
It's Denzel. You're Denzel Washington.
Yeah, exactly. And Denzel Washington in fucking Gladiator 2. Ah, yes, Rome. He's like the only guy that doesn't have a fucking accent. And I'm like, I respect the shit out of that.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch. I've decided, even though I love Paul Mescal, I'm just not going to watch Gladiator 2. I feel like I should say that officially on the podcast.
Yeah, I feel like I don't understand making sequels 25 years later, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's a weird choice. None of those things we talked about happened in the 90s, this episode, where finally we see a little bit of the flashback, a very hurried flashback, of the two scientists, Edwin and Hannah.
And Joel McHale.
we know what the Screaming Trees were. Not the alternative rock band from Seattle.
Yeah, I was going to say,
They were actually frogs. And we had... Joel McHale.
I think that's why I mentioned, if it was like, is this supposed to be sort of like a rainforest? What's going on?
Right. The frog thing is weird. But I don't know enough about forest stuff. I'm an indoor kid, yeah. So I don't. So sure.
I had a thought, but I didn't bring it up because they also manipulate the sounds of the whatever was out there screaming.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was like, this sounds like an amphibian, sort of like they all make these horrible screeching noises as like mating calls and also to ward off predators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, and then we have, of course, Joel McHale playing Cody, right? Or Kodak, like the bear, right?
Yeah.
He was their guide. And and there's a lot of sexual tension going on here between a thruple is merging here.
Yeah, it's what's his name? Nelson Frank?
Wait, yes, no, Nelson name? Franklin. Right? Yeah,
Franklin. Yeah, he's become real cuckold, kind of like Christopher Walken's ex fiance. New husband.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Yellow Jackets has been trying to like re-add a sense of logic to a lot of the weird shit happening, and this is another case of it, right? And
yeah,
I thought this stuff was pretty good. I mean, I don't know about this take of was it Kodiak and Edwin having this tension, right? Because Hannah wants to sleep with both of them. This is very like a Polanski knife in the water this situation, yeah. Right? Like it's a little odd. I don't know. Yeah.
They're also not explaining what they're doing that far into wherever they're at.
It's almost like we needed the whole episode to be. It would have been nice if this whole episode was just them and they never then.
I wanted that pretty badly.
That way they can kind of dispel a lot of like the shit that they're hearing and seeing in the woods, right?
But we had to go back to the stupid whodunit of present day, and it's like,
oh yeah, we may not even get to that part. it's just no time, not enough time. Yeah, and I thought, oh cool, this whole episode is gonna be about them, and we're kind of like really get know these characters, and no, pretty much 20 minutes with them, and then we're back to where we were at the end of last episode. Only,
because everybody's favorite character inside of this universe is Lottie for whatever fucking reason. Like I keep saying, like, why do they keep this person around?
Right. Yeah. And then
immediately kills Frank Nelson.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. When they find Ben's head.
Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had to have the, you know, Kodiak, he shoots Melissa, right? With the thing. Which I thought that was a cool scene. Yeah. He's just like, if she dies, you die or something. That was pretty funny.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, to fucking Mari.
Yeah, Mari.
Right?
If she dies, you die too. Yeah. Which I thought was...
Which at this point, it's just like, Sean is such an asshole to fucking Mari. Mari's just
they
like...
They fucking hate each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Mari's just kind of like a mean girl, I guess, is her whole deal.
I think Mari has emerged clearly as the best character.
She's so funny.
Yeah, she's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And it's actually just like, it's well written. And I think her timing too, as an actress is really good. And I believe she's Latina. So there you go.
Hey.
So yeah. And then we get the, you know, Hannah, she records, the message that if present day Shauna and, you know, Thaisa and Van all here. Which I like the way this landed in terms of like, wow, I guess they really did some fucked up shit out there. Why they're not able to adjust. It isn't just mainly just the supernatural shit. It's like they murdered people.
No, they fucking murdered
people. Yeah, they tortured, murdered people. So their own people and outside people. So this was a traumatic, crazy time. Yeah. They're becoming very primal and losing their humanity in the process.
Oh, speaking of primal, previous episode we failed to mention, I think just because we're kind of over it, but Van getting the... That happened that episode, right? Van got the weird phone call when she was trying to find the DAT recorder so we can listen to the tape.
Right.
The old 90s clear phone rang and she answered it and it was Thaisa, young Thaisa saying Van help.
Right. Yeah. Which pretty much, I mean, that just means that, well, we know for sure by the end of this episode that whatever other Thaisa is, in kind of in control.
Yeah. Primitive Thaisa, yeah. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Forest Thaisa. I'm not sure what to call
it. And that she's probably been in charge this.
I think it's fair to say primitive Thaisa, since primitive Thaisa is sustenance is dirt.
Sure. Yeah.
Even though can fully, you know, have full conversations, run for fucking political office,
yeah,
but also eat dirt. Or are they implying that teen Thaisa is like, I forgot how to eat and I'm going to run around being wild? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm over this primitive Thaisa.
Yeah. There's something, yeah, very weird about this whole, I think these, I don't think I'd be mad at all if this series ends with them just, they slowly got poisoned by all these fucking amphibious frogs that were like poison dart frogs or whatever, and they just like went crazy because they got super high.
Well, they are drinking the water and those frogs are mating in the water, so you think they're just drinking their...
And the only reason Travis is like chill is because he's been like self-medicating with fucking mushroom tea. Like,
yes.
Just like leveling himself out all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lottie already has issues with her mentality, so...
Yeah, I kind of relate to Travis. If I was in this scenario, this exact scenario, where there's just a... savage women around, I would just play it easy and be high every day. So I mean, well Travis in this episode,
like, what do you want me to do? I just have this massive Sean.
Yeah,
and I know half of you have nothing to compare it to, right?
Well, I mean, he's basically a Ken doll at this point. Yeah. Travis kind of wakes up a little bit this episode, right? Because he's chasing Kodak, and they reach the cliffside, but they end up not killing him. They kind of keep him alive because he's like, well, he can take us out of here. He's kind of over the whole like Lottie supernatural shit going on here, and so is Akia. Yeah.
What's the name of the so it's Kevin, Kodak, and Hannah?
Is the name of the woman, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember last episode, because I had the captions on, because my partner needs the captions on. Which, at this point now, I'm like, I feel like I'm getting all the extra tea, because I can see, like, who's talking on this tape, instead of going like, oh, who is that? Mm. Well, I know, because it fucking said on the thing.
Right, yeah.
So it was Hannah's voice, and I was like, who the fuck's Hannah? And it was like the first time in any of the series we've reviewed where I'm like, I know for a fact there isn't a Hannah on this group.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Hannah?
Yeah. And then basically Hannah surrenders to Shauna after they chase her down. She offers to save Melissa.
Oh, but we also see her doing, like, she hides for a second, laying down behind a tree.
Right.
And she narrowly avoids Shauna, who definitely would have killed her. Because at this point, you're just assuming Shauna's trying to kill everybody.
Right.
And she has that DAT tape recorder and records a confession to her daughter or mm-hmm. something that she left behind, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the daughter that... that's alive, yes. They know that she's alive and suspect that the daughter is the one who sent the envelope with the tape.
Yeah.
I was disappointed again, like, by the fact that...
Do you think it's Melissa, by the way?
I think it's 1,000% Melissa. Yeah. I'm not. There's really no... The fact that we introduced Melissa in the flashbacks, and I'm not sure how they're going to tie it to the tape or anything, but I'm pretty sure it is, because the tape, the envelope on the whatever tape that they sent had was Shipman, right? I mean, Melissa probably knows her as Shipman or whatever. They don't know Jeff's last name. She wrote the symbol, so it's clearly somebody they went out there with. But I think the reason why people suspect it might not be her is because the number of survivors. She wasn't one of them, but I feel like they can easily kind of explain that away, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Because of what's going on right now, I feel like the group might split again.
Yeah. Definitely lines are being drawn, right? Like, Shauna's going to have a group, yeah, and then Natalie's going to have a group, I suspect.
So, like, I think they're probably going to split onto two different parts of the forest and just get lost.
While the others hunt them. Down. Time travel. Yeah, present day stuff. I guess the biggest thing is supposedly the DNA is of under Lottie's fingernails was Shauna's.
And that's, she finds out that through Walter right after she finds a pay toll ticket stub to New York or something,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, so apparently Shauna met up with Lottie too.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. All of this is just whatever, right? I mean.
Yeah. Oh, and the only reason we know Thaisa met up with, we didn't talk about this last episode. The only reason we know that Thaisa met up with Lottie is because one of Lottie's main cult followers who is just trying to live her life got fucking accosted by Misty.
That's right. Yeah. I remember her.
And she was like,
yeah. Yeah.
Which now I'm thinking that Lottie is fully aware, has been fully aware that Thaisa has not been regular Thaisa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, she's fully aware. Like, oh, I know you're primitive Thaisa and I need you to be this because I am insane and everybody loves me. So.
Yeah, and I guess Callie did hear the tape, right? Because she reveals to Jeff that, like, about the frog scientist and that maybe Shauna is a bad person or something.
Yeah, like, possibly. But it's, like, also, like, Callie, how would Callie in any way know? Oh, I guess she looked it up, right? She was like, she doesn't know who the voice on the tape is.
Mm.
And then she looked it up, and this is how we get that sort of exposition is... She Googled that three people went missing in the forest and they just happened to be in that same area where they found the garage.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. And then, Matt is in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. She starts hemorrhaging blood.
Shauna abandons them.
That scene was kind of funny. Yeah. It's like they're all texting each other, in the car. And then Shauna was like, are you fucking with me? Stop it.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Underwhelming as we hit the middle episodes, I would say overall.
Yeah.
That would be your thoughts as well. That just underwhelming.
I think so. Yeah. It's the things that they're really going hard on are starting to really bug me a bit.
Yeah.
Which leads us to our feature film. No, I'm just kidding.
Definitely. Let's move over to our main review of The Fly. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
So I just got to mention my dad. Used to like making fun of the Flash theme. And I think this is the one with, what's his name? The guy that did the first live action Flash?
Ships? Jonathan? John Ships or something like that?
Ships?
Something like that.
Yeah. Where it would be like, I don't even really remember this. I just remember my dad going like, oh yeah, because you know the show that we like watching, The Flash. Okay. So I'm going to say it like that, The Fly. Because I feel like it's appropriate.
Okay.
For a 5-word plot summary, 3 to be exact, for David Cronenberg's adaptation of the 1950s film The Fly. Coming in at number 3, guy bugging out on chicks.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for The Fly, just be thankful wasn't cockroach.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for David Cronenberg's The Fly, no girl, can't fix him.
Yeah, I would hard agree with that. Okay. I'm just going to go out and say that, like, can Jeff Goldblum really play anybody but Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
Spicy take.
I don't know. Well, I was going to say, like, I thought it was a great performance by this Jeff Goldblum.
Uh-huh.
I know Gina Davis went on to go do some stuff, and what's his name? The kind of the third main actor. He's been in a billion things.
Sure. John Geetz? Getz?
Yes. Getz, yeah. you know, they went on to do some stuff. It's just a real shame because I thought this guy did an amazing job, this Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm.
Just never really went on to do anything else, I guess.
I would say he's... I feel like... And maybe I'm wrong about this, and I was hoping to for you to, like, immediately dispel this, but, like, Jeff Goldblum just plays himself, right? Like, there's no... Where's the acting?
Oh, he was, like, pretty good when he was supposed to start turning into a fly. He was very, He took
annoying.
On mannerisms, like, fly mannerisms. Oh. Yeah, like, just... No, I actually rather enjoyed it. I rather enjoyed his
performance. I'm gonna say I didn't like this movie. I didn't like it.
Bummer,
I found it kind of like... The movie is very kind of like B-movie, sci-fi stuff. With a pretty... thin romance written here. Didn't believe Gina Davis would be interested in an eccentric Seth Brundle.
Eccentric Seth Brundle, the Brundlefly / amazing gymnast.
No matter how much he, you know, no matter how amazing his work is. I mean, I guess it just goes to say that, like, If you know, it doesn't matter what you look like, if you can do, if you have money or like do something amazing, I guess, right? Because he did the teleportation thing. Yeah, I didn't believe that they had a very strong romance. I actually think it's probably the weakest thing, not Cronenberg's strength, romance, I would say.
No.
I would say that.
I don't think he understands romance.
I say all the other elements of this movie, like the creature design and like. The sort of body horror elements were interesting, were well done.
Yeah. His like descent into madness without understanding it, I thought was really cool.
It seemed pretty like, for all intents and purposes, it was implausible, like logical in how he kind of went and figured out what was going on with him, right?
Which also give, I don't remember this part of the movie, but the. Or I hadn't remembered this part of the movie. Him explaining, because she's like, don't you need like a team of scientists to do all this? He's like, well, he basically says, I outsource these things because, you know, these people are way smarter about how to do this shit. I just need them to build it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's really clever. And then like, well, don't you need, how do you get all the funding? He's like, I cost very little and they just know they get to keep whatever I make. So they don't care. I'm like, wow. Okay. You're like really checking off all the boxes real quick.
Yeah. And I like that thing he kind of added to that. Like, he doesn't let who's doing what know what they're doing. So he doesn't really know what he's working on. He just fixed this, fix that. Yeah. I like that they did kind of,
explain that all the way, like very quickly,
right.
Too, right? That way you're like, okay, stop worrying about
right.
that.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, there's like subtle little, like at the beginning of the movie, she's driving him back to his place so she can see what he's working on. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's just, I'm always like this. I get like really bad motion sickness, which is funny because he's going to turn into a fly.
Mm-hmm.
And then something I really don't remember is the beginning of this movie just thrown right into their having a conversation.
I hated this, by the way.
I was like, what? Did I miss something? Like, why is it just like that?
It's kind of awkward, right? That they're just mid-conversation.
Weird way to begin the movie, yeah.
Kind of just showing an exterior of something, right? Like a building and then a party, and then they're immediately cut to them having a conversation and stuff.
So what the way it was playing out, did you think... Okay, when's the last time you saw this movie?
Oh man, I couldn't remember. Maybe 10 years ago, maybe 10 plus years ago.
Like for me, it's going to be way longer than mm-hmm. that. Probably closer to 20.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember it starting off that way.
No, neither have I.
And then I just assumed, okay, maybe it's fine because they're actually a couple or whatever. And they're doing this teasing thing. I was like, they don't know each other?
Mm.
why are they talking to each other like this then?
Right. That's weird. It was a little weird and clunky, the beginning of this movie.
And I'm sorry, David Cronenberg, but there's no such thing as like, hey, there's just a couple of casual flies that roam around a place. That's not how the flies work. They are nasty fucking nuisance.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm vegan and most of the shit I eat isn't real. So flies are like, oh, this is like the synthetic shit that came out of the second pod. I don't want it.
I'm just surprised this movie. I guess I'm not surprised this movie was his biggest hit because it seems about as mainstream as you're going to take a lot of these ideas, right?
And I think it was nobody had attempted to remake The Fly up until this point, right?
Right, right. We should probably mention that, right? It was a remake.
Yeah. Vincent Price, right, was the original Jeff Goldblum character.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what his name was in that. I do remember watching that movie, and that movie was different. Like, this is a very different take on that. The original movie was more when they accidentally spliced their bodies together. You got a humanoid fly that was like running around with like there's like a human with a fly head killing people, mm-hmm. and then there's like a really wild reveal where you find the other fly, the fly that fly's body, and it's got a human head going, "Help me!" And that's where that joke comes from.
Right, yeah. And that was made at a time where it was more kind of Z-grade horror, right? Like,
yeah. But then that was also considered body horror for the time, right? Because it was like 50-something.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 50s kind of B-movie horror. Where it's a lot of dealing with like scientists and doctors and kind of, and this is, I did like that in terms of like the adaptation is more of a grounded approach, a little self-contained. It's about this relationship and when, I don't know, I'm sure you can find some sort of allegory for this, right? For his transformation.
Yeah. Like, long live the new flesh.
Yeah. Probably his.
It's also another one of those movies where you're like, yeah, Gina Davis is fucking tall.
Jeff Goldblum is fucking tall.
Yeah, and they're like almost meeting eye to eye, right? It's like,
right.
Throughout the entire movie.
But let's.
Another thing, I know this is going off topic, but it's kind of like Kevin Klein, where you're like, how tall is fucking Kevin Klein? He's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, because she's...
Tim Robbins.
She's 6 foot. She's 6 foot. Yeah, and he's 6'4". Yeah. Tall dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And then,
yeah, just the adaptation, I did like that it was more of like grounded and it seemed simplified, right? Because... The original is very much in that the whole world could end and there's like military and scientists and all these other experiments and you know, it's kind of like in that vein, and this is more of a strip.
Cronenberg tends to lend more relationship drama, even if it is just kind of shoo-ined at the end, but
I feel like
trying to make it, yeah,
this is a pretty like every now and then mainstream accepts these sort of like weird body horror movies, right? We're having a moment right now with The Substance, right? You know, yeah. And I kind of feel like The Fly is in a similar vein where it's just weird enough, but people are still kind of going along with it. Probably because of the premise is super simple, right? A guy turns into a fly. And all the machinations of that, right? Like, all the things that happen to it.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, like, moments where it's, like, I'm sure, like, shocked audiences. Like, he's, like, trying to talk to Gina Davis, and he's going to eat something, and without thinking about it instinctively, he's, like, looking there in the eye and, like, throws up white fluid to disintegrate his food in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, been there.
Which is, like, no, it's funny to watch, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was us in college. We looked just like that. Just don't wake up.
Pretty much. Heartthrobs.
Heartthrobs. Yeah. I was underwhelmed also by Gina Davis's character. I thought she was a little underrated. She's kind of boring. Not much of a...
Just kind of one track, sort of like, this is going to extend my career, but now I'm in love.
Yeah.
Because this guy fucks like he's going to die in a couple of days.
This pretty much.
Like a fly.
And she just seemed like, especially towards the latter part of this movie, she's very much just like, no, what's happening? Oh, no. It's just no character here, to be honest. A compelling character.
But not really, no. But again, I will say it's probably one of the faster Cronenberg movies I've seen.
Yeah. No.
He's definitely made movies that were at this time mm-hmm. limit. But this one was like very quick. Like everything was happening so quick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like it jumps from, hey, it's a baboon. We're going to turn inside out real quick. Which is pretty fucked up. And then there's a baboon that is Jeff Goldblum's like best friend. And then that baboon just disappears.
Yeah. There's no trace of him after towards the end of the movie. He's sort of there, but not there. Nothing. There's no like follow up. I just like that on IMDb. He has a credit. Did you know IMDb has a credit and a picture from this movie?
Oh, does the baboon play the same two baboons?
Possibly. His name's Typhoon.
They just gave Typhoon a mustache.
Yeah, pretty much. Harsher lighting. But yeah. So do you have any thoughts? You want to move into spoilers? I mean, what the fuck is a spoiler here? Okay, yeah, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Oh, there's a spoiler.
Let's go.
Gina Davis is pregnant.
Dun, dun, dun.
With potentially a fly baby.
Maggot. What was the thing that she birthed?
Yeah. She births a big maggot. And what did I text you? Freaking classic sneaky Cronenberg. Yeah. He gets to look between Gina Davis's legs.
I feel like,
because he gave himself the doctor cameo.
I feel like this is the whole point of the movie. He is to get.
Yeah. So she can push out a maggot. Large larva.
I thought this sequence worked, even though it's a little like on the nose, right? Like flashback thing. We think it's present day, but then they trick you and stuff. And it's all
a dream. Yeah, because you totally know it's not. Yeah. Oh, I think he did a good job of making sure you knew it wasn't happening, because she was all of a sudden okay with her ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Getz, who is like, yeah, he gets a little weird, right? He gets a little too like possessive and, you know, like
jealous.
I think he's just acting like a jealous ex-boyfriend, right? Because then at the end of the movie, I'm like, man, this guy didn't deserve any of this, but okay.
Yeah. He ended up helping her, or at least having some sort of empathy for her towards the end, after being kind of a scumbag about their relationship and everything.
He goes out of his way to be like, we need to abort this baby in the middle of the night. And everybody's like, in the middle of the night? Can't wait till tomorrow? And she's like, no, I want it out now. And then it never happens, because like, everybody has the same fucking conversation. Like, oh, right now?
Yeah, exactly.
It was almost like very slapsticky. Like, oh, come on. Are you serious? It's like 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to do this now?
Yeah.
And then probably the only jump scare I've ever seen in a Cronenberg movie, Gina Davis is in the like hospital room or whatever that place is. I don't think it was really a hospital. And Jeff Goldblum breaks through the super thick glass and takes her away.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got to keep the baby. It's probably the only humanity I have left. It's like, no.
Mm. Yeah, no.
Not into being a single mom to begin with.
So that was his plan then? I think he was just trying to make another life for himself, right? Is that what's going on?
I think at the very, very end, because initially I think it was just him going like, please keep the baby, like, because he lost his humanity.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's almost full of fly.
And then it turned into, he kept asking the computer, and it's like, how do I make Brundlefly not Brundlefly anymore? And the computer's like, if you can splice your DNA with two other humans, you should be able to regain a lot of you, like, human form back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think it was too far gone, and I think it was just like, fuck it, let me try this, because now Gina Davis is pregnant.
Right, yeah.
And I've thrown up all over Getz's hand and leg.
Yeah. Melted him. Is that possible?
Well, I mean, I assume so. I think, yeah, there is something I vaguely remember going through, like, the science behind it, and apparently if, like, flies were that big and threw up on us, we would just disintegrate.
Oh.
Because of the enzymes in their tummies.
Hmm. Fucking yeah. Gross.
Which is why I don't mind when flies jump, like, fly my food or whatever. I'm like, you're helping me out.
Yeah.
By pre-digesting this food so I don't have to make my body work harder.
Yeah.
So I appreciate flies. Just kidding.
Yeah, and I did like the last effects, right? When he's like full fly here, he's like, his skin is just completely just falls apart, and he's like a revealing of a fly-like face in the under all the skin.
An
yeah,
fly, yeah. And it, what is it like? Gina Davis is trying to get him to stop to not kill Getz's character, and
right.
She's like trying to push him away and accidentally rips his jaw off. And then that's when you see like the full fly form emerge. Mm-hmm.
Cool moment.
Yeah. Again, we got to give it up to like the transformation stuff where like the coarse hair is coming out of like,
yeah,
he had like accidentally laid on top of a microchip that pierced his back
mm-hmm.
from banging Gina Davis so hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's on its back, she was banging him.
There you go. So. Gina Davis created the fly.
Gina Davis created the fly. That's, I thought it was cool that she like cut him too with the big fucking scissors. There's some nice moments in it. Like, I feel like the body horror stuff is like, it's Cronenberg. Cool. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's what he does the best. Fun. To be fair, I mean.
Yeah. And I did like, you know, at the end when, so now it is officially full on the fly is trying to get Gina Davis and the baby to merge with, do the transformation with him into the third pod.
Mm-hmm.
And is able to shoot the line to Gina Davis's pod. So that pod goes offline and the fly breaks through these pods, which the pods are cool looking too. Like the set design is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, before the fly is able to completely walk out of the thing, gets transported to the third pod. So it mixed with the outside of the pod that broke. And you see the computer say, Brendel fly and pod successful fusion. And then that's where you get like the new, like, long live the new flesh move.
Yeah.
He's now videodroming his way. Crawling up to the thing, and Gina Davis is about to shoot him and puts the gun down. She says, I can't. And last bits of humanity, fly grabs the gun and points it to his head.
Kill me.
Kill me. I know, I was waiting for that. I was like, does this actually happen in this movie? It doesn't, luckily, because I probably would have started laughing. But yeah, she still can't do it, but then she's like, yeah, fuck it, and blows his head off.
She's like,
or was it Getz?
She's like, no, wait.
No,
and they shot him. Yeah. Hold on, I got one more thing to add. And he shot him in the face. Yeah.
Make sure you turn off the...
Yeah. And she died. And that's it.
That's the plan.
That was it.
That literally is the very last moment of the movie.
Pretty much, yeah. I did like the different change. I think Cronenberg did a good job with that. Like showing them at different stages. Right, like of grossness, or when like when his ear fell off and stuff. Like I thought, all the transformational stuff and the effects and the body horror stuff is the stuff I think most I remember. It. And I'm glad you mentioned that, like the design of the pods and like the his apartment and stuff where most of the movie takes place was excellent. I thought,
yeah.
Really kind of sets the mood for the whole movie.
And again, I know you weren't a big fan, but I like Jeff Goldblum's like immersion into like this like character. Like when he's super excited, he's like, I have so much energy. It's just because, you know, flies go like at a 100% all the time because they don't live very long.
Right.
And how he would like widen his eyes, like his eyes were fucking wide all of a sudden, like dark, and he's just like eating a shit ton of sugary things, which made me diabetic just watching it.
You're overwhelmed by it.
Yeah. I was like, fuck that, dude. No more.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts before I read the movie or?
No. Spoilers. There is going to be Return of the Fly.
There is a Fly 2 with But the Sun, which I've never seen, which I probably won't. So that's.
Yeah, it's probably not good.
It literally has nothing to. Nobody returned for this movie. It's a whole different director, writers. Mick Garris wrote it, though. He's, you know. Average, you know, adaptationer of Stephen King stuff. One of the masters of horror. Mick Garris. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. Eric Stoltz is in this. He plays Martin Brundle.
Oh, he plays the kid.
Daphne Zuniga is in this. Oh my God. Look at this 80s cast.
Stacked 80s cast.
John Getz is also back.
Oh, so he's walking around without a hand and a foot.
Pretty much, yeah. I imagine. What a weird movie. That Fly 2. I kind of want to see. It doesn't look like it's available anywhere, but like to rent or something. Or...
Yeah, because if you guys want us to watch it, let us know in the comments.
Please, please let us know. Alrighty.
Special podcast, Otis Redding.
Otis, the man Redding.
Who's bothering me right now.
Yeah. Just needs a little tenderness. He wants to sit at the dock of the bay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give The Fly 6.8 sexy spooky bones.
Yep, I'm not sure why this one didn't click with me, but yeah, I'm gonna give it a 5. Just okay. I didn't much enjoy. I remember, I think when I first saw this movie, I was like, wow, this movie's fucked up. But I think it was a lot younger. Yeah. I'd seen a lot less movies.
You know, it's funny because like when I first saw Videodrome, I was like, man, I don't get this. And this movie is like too weird for me. I don't like it. And now I'm all in.
Yeah. Like the sweatshirt. Like, I got you.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. I wear that all the time. And people, I think, just assume it's like, I keep getting like, are those like Asian characters, like letters or whatever? Yep. I'm like, no, these are guts flying out of a television.
Like, oh my. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Keep it punk, John. At work. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Okay, bye.
When the old gentleman is really bugging out, his mind's going faster, faster than his mouth. Can't really focus on his baby love. Only has time for a single word in his mind. He's